Cal Thomas and the Politics of Faith. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, my Vice Chairman of the Institute, good friend and fellow analyst, Chuck Michaelis.
Once again, back in the studio, thinking about things, doing our heavy thinking while we're here on the air.
That's the reason why you hear that humming sound in the background. It's the machinery working to try to figure out if we have a deep thought in our heads.
Well, if they were here, they could hear the wood gears burning inside my, head.
That's it.
they could smell wood burning.
Today, Chuck, we're continuing on a little conversation we started on yesterday's program regarding an interview that nationally syndicated columnist and political pundit Cal Thomas, who's probably one of the most syndicated thinkers and writers in there. He's one of the highest syndicated columnists in the country. And he was talking about the intersection of faith and politics in an article in Table Talk magazine, which is R.C. Sproul's Ligonier Ministries monthly devotional magazine. And the article was called Repairing the Ruins. And yesterday I led in with how can you repair ruins with broken materials? Because that's kind of where Cal Thomas is getting to, that, well, because leaders are fallen and we live in a fallen society, that believers should basically just be about the business of going out and saving souls and not worrying about politics. Oh, there's no biblical prohibition from you voting, but honestly, you're just really wasting your time because things are getting worse and worse and it's supposed to go that way. And in the end, everything ends anyway. And so we can't have the idea that, oh, maybe we actually pay attention to God, that we stop compromising God's principles, because his principles and his word, Chuck, spell out the qualifications for those you put authority over you. It goes all the way back to Exodus with Moses, with his father-in-law Jethro coming and telling him, these are the type of men you want that fear God, who hate filthy lucre, who are men of truth, hating covetousness. The New Testament talks in Romans 13 about those civil authorities who are ministers of God to reward good and punish evil. And so they must know what good and evil is, which means there's only one place they can go to find truth, and that's God's full and scripturated word. And then we have the books of Timothy and Titus, where they talk about the idea of the qualifications for, well, what we call rulers. Most people want to like buttonhole that down into the church, but if you look at that, they're talking about leadership. Those who are elders, and we look at that, well, that's just limited to the church. Well, that's not necessarily true, because those are good qualifications for any type of a leader, because all of these spheres of authority, whether it be the church, the family, the man being a husband of one wife, children under his authority and not given to drunkenness and things of that nature, those are all things we look for in a political candidate as well. Right now, we've got one who's serial adulterer. You've had ones who have had drunkenness and other things in their backgrounds. But these are the type of people that Cal Thomas says, well, you know, okay, yeah, you're not prohibited from voting by the Bible. And then he says, we've compromised, the entire nation's compromised God's principles. Well, maybe one of the ways we stop compromising God's principles is we start holding candidates accountable to God's standards for leadership.
Which is exactly the opposite of what Thomas is actually telling us to do.
Exactly.
But Barry, in order to understand this, we need to sort of examine Cal Thomas's track record of picking writing partners.
Well, that's true.
Let's put it this way. It's not a sterling record. We talked about yesterday this book, Blinded by Might, How the Christian Right Can't Save America, which we agreed with the title, The Christian Right Can't Save America, Only Jesus Christ Can. But his writing partner in there was a man who was a pastor up in the Grand Rapids area, right, Western Michigan, and his name was Ed Dobson, not James Dobson, the Focus on the Family fame, but Ed Dobson. There's no relation between those two. Ed Dobson gave birth to a spinoff church. He has a rather large congregation up there, and there were 5,000 members. And they cut off 1,000 members and told them to go form a new church. And the new church that got formed in, I'm trying to remember, Big Rapids or someplace north of Grand Rapids there, was called Mars Hill Church. And the pastor that got sent out to form this church was a guy named Rob Bell. There are many out there who will know immediately who Rob Bell is. And for those of you who are fans of Rob Bell, I tell you that I'm very sorry for that, because Rob Bell is an arch heretic. I refuse to pull punches on Rob Bell. Rob Bell is a heretic. He says there is no such place as hell. He's more into the Unitarian idea that Jesus was a great teacher. So in that case, I think he still acknowledges Christ as the Son of God, but he denigrates the power of Christ's word. And in fact, he questions and undermines a great deal of Christ's teaching and the teachings of the New Testament and, in fact, of the Old Testament. In fact, Rob Bell essentially has hooked up with the red letter Christians who are only into the words of Christ in the four Gospels, and everything else is thrown out. He especially does not like the writings of Paul. Like so many of the New Testament underminers, he questions Paul as an actual authority in having written so many of the words of the New Testament. And, okay, what does that have to do with Ed Dobson? The fact is, Ed Dobson basically was his mentor. Ed Dobson turned him loose, had him make Mars Hill, and in fact has endorsed him on a number of occasions. So Ed Dobson doesn't have any problem with Rob Bell. It would be one thing if he turned him loose and then later repudiated things that he said. He hasn't. And in fact, I will tell you that Ed Dobson calls himself a conservative, and yet in 2008, he came out and openly endorsed Barack Obama for president. This man is not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. We take a look at the newest book that Thomas is hawking, because this interview is hawking Thomas's book, right? I don't think there's any denial of that, Barry.
No, not at all.
He's hawking a book called Common Ground: How to Stop the Partisan War That Is Destroying America. Now, from the gist of this interview, apparently the way to stop the partisan war that is destroying America is for Christians to surrender all the moral high ground to liberals, political liberals.
Well, it seems to be Thomas's reason for being.
Yeah, exactly. His current writing partner on this book is a man named Bob Beckel, who is a longtime Democrat apologist who basically was a front man for Bill Clinton during the entire impeachment process and before. Bob Beckel is as partisan a man as you can get. And he claims that Beckel has had a conversion experience. I don't know whether he has or not. He says that he and Beckel go to church together when Beckel is not administering to alcoholics on a Sunday. I don't know what that means. The best way to minister to alcoholics on a Sunday is to get them to come to church, I think.
Well, one of the things, and I understand a little bit from Beckel's background, he was addicted to alcohol and drugs and cleaned up and is reforming his life in that respect. According to Thomas, Beckel came to faith in Christ and is going to church with him, even though they're political opposites. Common Ground is based upon the book title is the title of the column that they write together for USA Today. It's a regular column in USA Today where they go back and forth over these type of issues. Well, honestly, Charles, what we're really getting at here, up until the point of, I believe, Beckel's conversion, and even probably past that, because oftentimes you don't come to a mature understanding of the faith until you've been in the faith for a while, you've wrestled through the issues and realized and set aside where you're wrong and where the Bible's right. And that is the idea that if Mr. Thomas is coming and saying he's coming from a Christian or biblical perspective, and Mr. Beckel was coming from a secular liberal perspective, but they were finding common ground, there's only one thing that's possible in that, Charles, and that is Mr. Thomas was giving up his Christian distinctives in order to make peace with the world.
Well, that's the only way a Christian can come to common ground with a secular humanist.
That's right.
Because they are certainly not going to give ground to a Christian, to the Christian worldview. The only way for a Christian to find common ground with a secular humanist is to surrender the distinctives, as you said, the distinctive of the Christian worldview. And in fact, that's the only thing I can imagine that Thomas has done here. And from the interview, it appears that we are correct. In this interview, where are we talking about abortion? Where are we talking about confiscation and redistribution of wealth? Where are we talking about those things that the Bible speaks clearly to, that secular humanists deny? Limited government, personal liberty, those kinds of things. I'm sure Beckel would argue that his position is for personal liberty, that the ability to perform an abortion is a personal liberty issue, when in fact, as we're aware, you can't argue from that unless you deny the personhood of the unborn. And the Bible is very clear on that issue, that children were knit together in their mother's womb, and God knew us before he knit us together in our mother's womb, meaning that we are persons from the moment of conception. I'm sure Beckel would deny that.
Mm-hmm. You know, we want to go into this a little bit, and I just want to give you a kind of a taste, because what we're talking about is that dialectical process where Cal Thomas supposedly comes from a Christian perspective, which means that you have a thesis that the Bible's true, and that it is, as he said in the article, and he bemoaned that the whole nation has compromised God's principles. Okay, so then he's holding God's principles up as his thesis. And he's bemoaning the fact that everybody's compromising it. But when you get into the dialectical process, then he comes to Bob Beckel, who comes from a secular humanist view, and that's his thesis, which would be antithesis to Cal Thomas's thesis. Well, they dialogue together and come let us reason together, but what they come to is what's called a synthesis. And that's where the person with the first thesis has gone off of the thesis and has agreed to part of the antithesis in order to keep peace. That is Marxist, and it's a problem. But here's how it works itself out in that book, Common Ground. And these are a couple of the things that the book recommends. Now, I thought this was very interesting. Let's basically, first of all, let's look for candidates willing to put significant members of the other party into their administrations and not just a few tokens as window dressing. So in other words, what they're saying is, well, does Barack Obama, does that mean that Rush Limbaugh then ought to be handling his director of communications?
Yeah, possibly. That's going to happen.
Like, that's going to happen. Then he says on this, and I think this one is really telling, especially to us as believers, because it's duplicitous. It's deceptive. And he says, look not for candidates to run on common ground solutions to problems. That will only upset their base voters. But rather look for candidates who will use common ground processes once they get into office. So in other words, pander to your base and be, as they would say, rigid and partisan. But as soon as you get in the office, start handing away everything to your political opponents.
And Barry, that's what we've been going through for the last 80 years.
That's exactly right. It's not like that isn't happening already.
That's how we got in this mess. In fact, it's very evident the last 40, especially the last 20, with having Republicans gain both houses of the legislature and then govern like Democrats. Exactly. And then wonder why they can't keep the office. Now, I'm going to show something that shows that Thomas is dealing in logical fallacies. This is what's called the false dichotomy or the false either-or choice. Quote, we speak of those whom we disagree as being on the other side. Bob isn't on the other side. The Taliban are on the other side. Bob is my brother in Christ and one of my dearest friends. I'm not coming here to tell you, because I don't buy into the either-or fallacy here, that Bob Beckel is on the same side as the Taliban. But Bob Beckel is not on the same side as me and Barry Sheets. He may be on the same side as Cal Thomas, and I'm thinking that's closer to the truth. But the fact is, there are way more than two sides that have anything to do with political engagement.
Yeah, it's a continuum. It's not an either-or polarization.
So what we've got here is we either have to accept Bob Beckel and his viewpoint, or we are the Taliban. It's essentially what this has said. It's a false dichotomy, a false either or. We're given this choice. You have to either pick this or that. Cal Thomas has attempted to facilitate us into accepting Bob Beckel as a voice that should be heard in political discourse. Well, I have no choice but to hear Bob Beckel's voice, but I also, as far as I'm concerned, biblically, I have no choice but to oppose most of Bob Beckel's political agenda.
Well, Chuck, I think it's interesting because one of the other recommendations that Thomas and Beckel make in the book Common Ground, I think, is one of those ones that's self-incriminating. And they say, repudiate the cynics who benefit financially from polarization, the party apparatchiks who use it to raise money, the political consultants who use it to land jobs, and this is where I start laughing, the bottom feeders who push it to sell books or newspapers Get some lucrative speaking gigs and sell tickets.
And make sure to buy a copy of our book.
Book while you're doing it. That's right.
Well, with that little laugher, we are out of time.
Join us tomorrow at 5:30 for more Principles and Policies.